You're on Alive 90.5 with Darren and Jim in the Spotlight. And we're very fortunate to be able to meet people in our lives, Darren, that make a valuable contribution to the journey in the world in which we live in, and none other than Dr. Ney Gonzalez-Cordera, the group leader for Stem Cell Medicine and Stem Cell Organoid Facility.
Yes.
At the Children's Medical Research Institute. Good morning.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here. If I can say, you know, your life, the development of where you are today has taken a really interesting journey. Tell our listeners about your growing up and your love for chemistry and medicine and so on. Where did all that come from? Because there's always a story with that.
Yeah, so first, going back 18 months ago when I first came to Australia. So I was invited by CMRI to set up the Stem Cell Medicine Group and the Stem Cell and Organoid Facility, so a mouthful. and you know, it was a really privilege to come to CMRI because it's an amazing institution where I see the technology growing in the future. So where all of this started, it's in Brazil. So I was born in Brazil, and I was actually very fortunate that I could have a good education there and went to a really good university in Brazil. But when you're doing biological science, you need to speak English. And when I was in my second year at university in Brazil, I decided to go to London to spend 6 months there learning the language. And 20 years later, I was still in London and got married, had a son, which is now 18 years old, going to university himself. And I was actually, when I first moved to London, I started learning English, and you had to survive. So what do? You do waitressing, you clean houses. So I spent 4 years of my life just, you know, doing, just working and enjoying the London lifestyle, which to me was amazing. I come from a big city in Brazil, and London was a fantastic place to be. And then after a few years, I just looked back and said, look, I need to go back and do what I love, which is science. And then I decided that I need to go to college. Well, I had to go to college again to get an access to university in the UK, although I had done a degree in Brazil. And then I applied to university. I actually had a really good mentor in my college studies. And she said to me, Anaï, I was going to apply to any university in the UK. I was happy just to go back to study and being in a university. And she said to me, Anaï, did you go to a good university in Brazil? And I said, yes, a really good one. And she said, so why are you applying for any university in the UK? Aim high and you know, go to a good place. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll try. I thought it wasn't possible. And then I tried. I applied for a University College London, and I got into three different courses, and I went to do developmental biology.
Why did you select developmental biology? Where did that love come from? I mean, you did your undergraduate and big studies with science. Where did the love for the world in which you now are operating come from? Because it's become more and more refined.
Yes. Yeah, so again, it goes back to mentorship, and I had a really good secondary school teacher in Brazil that was passionate about biology. And that's when I first learned that was my passion as well. And I wanted to know more about science and biology and really, you know, I knew from early on that I wanted to do research and I wanted to be a scientist. And I consider myself very lucky because not everyone knows what they want to do. And I keep saying, I say to my son, you know, nowadays he's choosing what he wants to do in life. And I'm like, you know, persevere, you find your passion, because it's important to do something that you love and you are happy with.
And that's where I want to take you now. Mm-hmm. You have a PhD. Tell us about the research around that, because that is a very particular area that you delved into.
Yes. So developmental biology, it's the study of the embryo and how we form our body and all our cell types and our organs. And and I
in the embryo.
In the embryo, and as we grow, as the cells develop.
In the tummy, or as adults? Sorry, I'm just trying to ask.
Inside the womb. Yeah.
Yes, inside the womb.
Yes,
so that's your
very
area.
Early on,
yes.
Yes, the cells very early on when we are at the stage called the blastocysts. So as the you have a fertilization, so a few days later you have the blastocyst stage, and at that stage we have inside the blastocyst very special cells, like remarkable cells that are called stem cells. Those cells can will give rise to every single cell type of your body. So your heart, your neurons, your muscles, they will come from that population, very tiny population of stem cells. So I have learned how these cells develop in the embryo. So in university, my course was all towards that knowledge of what interferes with the stem cells that make them become a heart cell. How do they become a brain? And now years later on my PhD, what I did was to, there is a technology where we can isolate those cells, that population, and that population becomes a cell line, is what we call a cell line in the dish in the lab. So we can grow those cells indefinitely.
Individually?
They grow in colonies. They like being together.
Colonies, right.
Yes, so, but it's individually. So it's a population of cells that actually what makes them so special is that they proliferate. What I mean by that, they grow every day on the dish. They multiply themselves. And they grow and grow. We can bank them and have stocks of these cells in the lab so that every time we want to start a new experiment, we just get a vial and start growing the cells.
Just one important question I think we have to ask. You're talking about the embryos and you're talking about stem cells. Are we talking about embryonic stem cell research, or how do you get your stem cells to research on today?
Now, which is like a brand new, well, not that new technology anymore, but a new technology that we use, and it's again very remarkable, is that we can generate stem cells from patients, from individuals on blood or a piece of skin or hair. Any cell in the body, we know how to grow them in the dish. We know exactly what factors to provide these cells so that they can become a stem cell. So let me try and explain this properly.
Please do.
You mean you don't understand it, Darren? Nor do I.
I'm trying to follow. I'm trying to follow.
So we can go to Darren and ask him for a few samples of blood. So one vial of blood, for example. We'll bring the cells back to the lab. We'll prepare the cells. And a few years ago now, a Japanese scientist called Yamanaka has discovered that if you insert in the blood or a piece of your skin four different factors that are specifically expressed in stem cells, so he knows that these factors are essential for a stem cell to be a stem cell. So we add these four factors to the blood, and then those factors will make the blood to become a stem cell.
So in other words, if you have the right scientific recipe, you can take the input, which is skin, blood, and isolate these stem cells for you to do your amazing work.
Yes, and then we have, after the induction of these four factors, we can have stem cells in the dish, but that's generated from the blood or a skin and not from an embryo. And we use that now in research.
We're talking to Dr. Anel Gonzalez-Cordero, the group leader for stem cell medicine and stem cell and organoid facility at CMRI. That's a mouthful, Darren. And we might just go to a quick song and come back after that. Thanks for being on Spotlight with Darren and Jim.
Alive 90.5.
You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and this morning we're talking with Dr. Anel Gonzalez-Cordero, the Stem Cell Facility Manager and Group Research Leader of the Stem Cell Research Group here at the Children's Medical Research Institute, where Jim and I are guests today.
Hello, Darren.
Hello again. And Anae, I know you've got a great facility here, and it's actually not much larger than this boardroom we're in, but you do some amazing work there and it's cost some good bit of money. Can you tell our listeners what it takes to do the type of work that you do, and maybe a day in the life of yourself or one of your team that leads them through to the sort of things that you've been talking about so far, and then lead us on to some exciting discoveries that are coming out of your work?
Yes, so it takes a lot of work there. It's, as I said, we do have our basic material, which is the stem cells. So we have to feed them, as you mentioned, it's basically a recipe. We have food for the cells, and they require food every day, just like we do. And we grow the cells in the lab. And because of the background in developmental biology, we know what factors to use to these cells to tell them, please go on and become a heart cell, or go on and become a neuron. So what the facility does is to develop mini organs in the dish. So we can use stem cells to generate miniaturized brains or eyes or hearts.
So these are what you call the organoids.
These are the organoids, yes. And of course, it's very important to have these models in the dish, because now we have a mini brain in the dish that we can understand disease. If we generate this mini brain from a patient with epilepsy, for example, we can now start to understand epilepsy in the dish and model that disease, or model a number of inherited genetic conditions in the eye, for example. I have worked in ophthalmology for over 10 years now, and we have done remarkable progress just understanding what these diseases cause, because they're very different. Traditionally, we used animal models such as mice. And of course, they are very useful models, but they don't always replicate human disease. So having the mini organs that are of human origin in the dish is very precious for us.
So just thinking about this, and for our listeners who might be trying to visualize, is it that you have something that looks like an eye in the dish that someone would recognize as an eye, or something just functions like an eye?
Yes, it's basically a beautiful transparent bowl of tissue that it's just a bowl of cells together. It doesn't look anything like an eye, but the researchers know how to recognize that that's an eye and not a brain, for example, and not a heart. It has its own characteristics of an eye for us that have a trained eye, but you wouldn't say, oh, that's an eye, you know, it doesn't look like an eye, doesn't have
So we have a functioning eye in the dish,
yes,
that researchers know that it is characteristic of an eye in how it behaves.
Yes.
How does that lead you on to the sort of research outcomes, and may I call them discoveries, that you achieve? And is there some sort of simple discovery of recent, or something you've been working on, if you're allowed to talk about it, where our listeners can actually understand the outcomes of your work for the general population?
Yes. So the eye is a very good example, because we have been another very important characteristic of these organoids is that we can generate millions and millions of mini eyes in the dish. And one of our main aims is to use these organoids, healthy organoids, to isolate a population of cells that is very important for us, which is the photoreceptor cells. The photoreceptor cells are the light sensing cells. They're the cells that make you see. So for someone that is going blind from a genetic condition, let's say, loses these cells. The photoreceptors die as the disease progresses. And what we want to do is to grow the cells in the dish, the healthy ones, isolate them, and transplant them into the eye so that we can rescue vision. So that's been a program of research that we've been doing for over 10 years now. And we brought the technology to Australia. We are one of the few groups, if not the only group, that is doing cell transplantation in Australia. And again, we we are seeing very promising results and again, you know, generating cells in the dish that are very remarkably similar to the human cells.
So if I understand it correctly, it is an inherited condition that you're working on, and it gives blindness to those who have it in their early age, and they might go blind by the time they're a teenager. So the outcome that you're working on is to actually find something that reverses what's happening in the eye so they have a better outcome across their life.
Yes, so it's placing the cells, replacing the cells that this patient has lost. So the cells died, and the only possibility of treatment now is to actually insert, replace, and give the patient new cells that hopefully will connect and will then rescue vision. You know, I don't say cure blindness because that's a long way away, but at least restore some sense of light that can help the patient.
So if I'm following on correctly, it's the photoreceptors that die and you're introducing new ones. You'll be able to do this in your organoids, which are like an eye in the dish, and this is going to translate to those out there with this condition to actually allow them to have better sight for longer in their life.
Yes, yes. Another research that we do, it's slightly earlier in the disease when the patient hasn't lost all the cells yet, so they still have the photoreceptors in their eye. What we can do, if we know what the genetic condition is, we can add that gene that is mutated. So the patient that has a genetic condition has a gene in their DNA that is mutated, is defect, that has a defect. And therefore that gene, let's say, doesn't function properly. And then what we can do with viral technology is to insert that gene, that specific piece of DNA, back into the eye and rescue the disease. And that's called gene therapy.
And that's a great segue. And it's amazing how quickly time goes here. But we do have another guest coming on from CMRI who's actually going to talk more about gene therapy. So it's a lovely segue.
Yes, and I'm sure he will explain really well what gene therapy.
Well, I've been fascinated. Listeners, I've been very quiet. As you know, that's very rare for me. But to have someone of doctor's ability and passion for what you're doing, because the end result of what you're doing, Doctor, is that we as ordinary people will benefit with the cells that we have that become degenerative or mutated, and you're able to, hopefully in your lifetime, be able to solve a number of perplexing questions. Finally, just one question to you. In your lifetime, what would be the goal that you said, my life has been worthwhile because I have been able to?
I would like to help patients that have a condition that is called Usher syndrome. So Usher syndrome is very devastating for patients because they suffer from blindness and deafness. So these patients are losing two senses that are very important. And as you can imagine, that's
very hard. Is that simultaneously or is that at different stages?
Different stages, and there are different types of Ushers, different mutations that cause different types of Ushers. So, for example, Usher 2A is a type that I work very close with, and the patients lose first the hearing, and then they get blind later on in life. And we are trying to generate new treatments for these conditions.
Could I ask you as a hope question? Are you 5 years away, do you think? 10 years? Not sure.
It's very hard to put
years
because, as I said, it's a lot of work in the lab. You know, it's a day-to-day battle of growing the cells, understanding the diseases. We are talking about now human organs that grow just as they would in the body. So they take, our cells grow for a year, 6 months. You know, they're very long-term cultures that we need to look after and then collect all the material, analyze the data so that we're making conclusions that are solid. And so it takes years. And then going over the hurdles of taking the technology into clinical trials, that's another big step that we hope to achieve, of course, soon. But again, you know, it's not just money, but it's time, approvals, and so on. That
do you think you may be able to in your lifetime find
Hopefully.
A cure?
Yes, well,
we hope you do. It's been a real pleasure to have you
Thank
here
you.
Today. Darren and I have been really excited and learned a lot about what you do here at CMRI, and we thank you for what you do, and we wish you every ounce of success in overcoming these insidious diseases. Thanks for joining us on Spotlight today.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.